Broadcasting from Hollywood, California, it's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
No more SNL for Alec Baldwin. Bill Cosby loses his sight, but is he gaining sympathy? I give my first impressions of the upcoming Beverly Hills Housewives season, and social media cracks down on damaging clickbait and quote-unquote news. That and more with Mark J. Freeman. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from Mark J. Freeman, host and personality.
Hello. Personality? It's all capitals and italics and underlined.
Yes. Mark, thank you for coming on our little
Thank
show
you for having here. Me. Glad to be here.
Well, we're going to have fun on this show because we have to, and there's a lot.
It's a prerequisite. I signed that waiver coming in the door.
Yes, you know, Mark and I had a conversation about politics before we started the show, so we've got it out of our system.
Yes, out of the system. We're not saying the T word, the H word, or the B word.
Yes. None of them, please.
None of them.
Although they're probably going to come up, just FYI. But yeah, no, we're here for a good time, for a short time, so let's get started.
Let's do it.
Alec Baldwin on SNL. You must have won. I mean, who couldn't?
I've seen clips, yes.
Right.
I don't typically watch Saturday Night Live. We record it, and so sometimes I'll watch bits and pieces of it. But I definitely saw clips.
Right. So Alec Baldwin played the T word on the show. And according to him, NBC killed any type of endorsement that SNL wanted to make. It could have been more obvious, but they couldn't come straight out and say, like, here's who you should vote for, which, to me, it's, like, almost losing the show's way. Like, the show is a liberal paradise for anyone who's, like, as far left as you can get.
Right, exactly.
And I'm a very liberal person, but even the show to me is, like, very almost, like, catering to the, it's just too extreme.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is pandering. So it's kind of funny that they're saying, oh, we couldn't endorse anyone. I mean, it's all but literally waving it like at the end of the episode.
Right.
Like, here's what you're going to do next.
Right.
I don't know. This is from page 6. So, who knows if it's a rumor or what. But Alec did speak out about this. And there was a Time Magazine article that really kind of ripped apart the most recent episode of SNL, post-election.
Right.
And it was questioning the tone and what they were mourning. And it kind of ripped into the show a little bit, which I can understand.
This is the piano playing.
Yeah.
H-word.
Yes. H-word. Which basically was like Kate McKinnon behind a piano and a wig. I mean, it was like, it could have been anyone.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Well, I will say this. I did, because that, you know, the next morning, probably Sunday morning, I woke up and there was that video of that happening, and I did start to watch it. I didn't finish it because I was watching it and I quickly realized they were being serious.
Oh yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a spoof of her playing the song and being, you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
It was obviously them trying to make a statement.
Right.
And so I stopped watching it at that point.
Yeah.
Because I'll say this, I don't want to watch SNL to be, you know, told anything. You watch it to be entertained.
Right.
And if you're not just entertaining me, I don't need, if I want a political statement, I'll go to a political website and
there's plenty of political shows.
Right, exactly. And it's like, you go there for release. So I hope that SNL is not, you know, trying to take a stand, but I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out.
Right.
Where they're leaning.
Yeah. So. Well, Time Magazine says that SNL gave up on political satire 1 year ago. Basically, they alluded to when Trump himself was on the show, which was a disaster.
Yes, I remember that.
A lousy show. I don't know. I know a lot of people have had trouble with getting into SNL for a long time. I don't know. It has its highs and lows to me, but I don't know what to tell them to do about all this political stuff, because now they're saying they're not going to have anyone play Trump. They're done with that.
I saw that. Yeah.
So where do we go from here?
I don't care if they have somebody playing Trump or Hillary or Bernie at all, but I want it to be like, you know, like it, when they had someone playing Barack Obama. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's just a funny sketch because of something that happened in life, yeah. you know, based on that, mm-hmm. not trying to make a political statement.
Right.
So I think there's big, and again, if you don't like it, don't watch it. I mean, that's what is great right. about our country.
Yeah. You know what? I think at this point, the joke is up. It's not funny anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It ran its course. The full election is over.
Right.
Let's move on and talk about other things. And there are plenty of other people who are messing up.
Yeah.
We talk about them on this show.
Oh, yes.
That we can have it this way. Let's abandon that for a little while, at uh-huh. least. A little yeah. while. It's too real right now.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. even Alec Baldwin says himself that he's trying to shed the cloak of Donald and that he does not really admire Trump. And he says, you know, when you're satirical and when you impersonate someone, you're supposed to kind of have an admiration for them.
Right.
You know? And it's right. like, he's like, I don't hate the guy, but I don't really care for the guy, so I'm done. He's like,
I actually really appreciated that statement because yeah. I kind of was like, okay, that's kind of cool. That, you know what I mean? That you, and it's true. You do. You want to, I don't know. Although I don't think Tina Fey has an admiration for Sarah Palin. So.
True, yes.
I'll stick up for Tina there, if I may.
Well, let's change to Bill Cosby. Someone okay. we haven't spoken about on this show in a while. Perhaps people aren't even thinking about Bill anymore.
I until you sent me it, I was like, oh, Bill.
Yeah. Let's not forget the 50 women in
That's
line.
Right. That's right.
You know, it's a horrible thing if that should be the case, which it seems to be. It's quite a case.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that now he is claiming that he is suffering from blindness so bad that he can't identify his accusers. So now there's this question, if can the trial go on? I mean, he's going to be tried anyway. How can you can't get out of this now.
It's our legal system. And I feel like it's a statement on everything in life in that we can always find a loophole. We can always find a reason. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, I mean, yeah, if I can hire the best lawyer, I can have him come up with this cockamamie story that I'm going blind and have some doctors say that I am. Maybe he is going blind. So be it. You still remember what you've done. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's how we twist and turn. Like, no one
there
takes...
There has to be a recourse for this, though. So yeah. I highly doubt that 100% of blind men have never committed a sexual
and
crime.
And it's not... And I hope that they're not implying that because of that, this excuses him. Because right. regardless of where you're at currently, you weren't at the time. And regardless of you being able to point at the person in the courtroom and saying, yes, I can 100%, yeah. you know, say it.
Right.
Well, then can't we take it the other way? If you can't see them, how can we? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
the reverse mm-hmm. is the same, too. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, if you can't say that you can't see me, then you can't deny that
yeah.
it's not me. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. I love that, yeah. actually. Very true.
So
he's supposedly, allegedly, suffering from degenerative eye condition, mm-hmm. some eye condition, who mm-hmm. knows?
I actually we have a friend that has something similar.
Really?
Uh-huh. Oh. Basically, the peripheral vision starts to go away, so you start to only be able to see, like, directly right in front of you, and it's a much smaller,
oh, wow.
you know, mm-hmm. thing. So, yeah.
Well, he's just going to have to get up close.
Yeah, exactly. Keep him straight, yeah. straight in line.
I don't know what to say. No, so he says that he is legally and functionally blind. I don't know, legally
Yet,
blind, though.
But isn't there another article saying how he wants to pick up his career where he left off?
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to pick up his career as a blind man now. Not saying that you can't have a career as a blind man. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's really bad that he can't stand trial, but it's just
okay enough
to go on
that I can have a career. Yeah, right, yeah. exactly.
He can walk around on a dark stage.
Exactly.
Fine.
Maybe I should be a lawyer. career path change.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, experts even say that it's treatable. They've interviewed doctors who have not treated Cosby, but they've said, look, like, this is for sympathy, basically. And the DA said to get some type of letter uh-huh. that looked like it was from lens crafters. I just love it. I mean, it really is. I mean, this is my belief only, but I really do think that it is strictly a strategy for sympathy drawn up by some lawyer at the 11th hour.
Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely what it is. I'm sorry, that's my opinion. My opinion is that that's what it is.
all these accusers. I mean, if he's guilty, he's up. It's up to 10 years per charge. You know, so I mean, it's not good. I mean, I guess he's doing what he has to do. Mm-hmm. But the you know, when they pulled the show from TV, I felt bad, not for him, mm-hmm. but I felt bad for the people and the actors and the directors to receive residuals.
Right.
Because when you worked on Cosby, you knew you were good for a while,
right.
and there were a lot of people who made money on that show because that was their job.
Right.
And by his actions, they lost that money. And I'm sure the show on the 80s, 90s, mm-hmm. right? I mean, these directors, these people who have made money, producers, they're probably not able to get out there and continue to work and make that money. The TV right. is not what it used to be anyway, but they're probably of a certain age, and they're relying on these residuals.
Tempest Bledsoe is counting on that.
More than a couple of those fools on that show haven't done too much. So I feel like it is coming back to TV, if you're interested, in mid-December on, yep. what is it, Bounce TV?
Bounce, I know, I never heard of that.
Yeah.
But whatever, I don't get
like,
out much.
You know, I think it's like an African-American, like, centric spin-off type show.
Okay.
There's a lot of sitcoms on there, so it's okay.
I just don't, I mean, my thing is, and this is kind of how I feel about the SNL thing, if it bothers you, then don't watch it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think that's what our country's about is...
Yeah. That's what they say about gay marriage. If you don't like it, don't get married. Yeah, I know. I think everyone needs to just, like, take a collective breath.
Yeah,
know?
And it's... I think everybody takes everything so personally. And I'm not belittling or putting down anybody who was involved with this case.
No.
But it's like... You can be upset, and you can not like it, and you can, you know, dislike him and never go to another one of his comedy shows and not support him. Fantastic. That is your right. But if a network wants to put it on and have it on, have at it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't hold it against that network. But at the same time, if there was something that I was offended by, I probably wouldn't
right.
watch that. I don't watch a lot of the mainstream media anymore
mm-hmm.
for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So... That's my choice, and I just choose to do that.
Right.
Whether that makes a difference, I don't know. But in my mind, I go to sleep at night feeling better about it,
right.
you know?
I like it. You stand in your own truth. I like it.
I've been known to.
This show, returning to television, even if it is on an obscure network, is creating quite a reaction mm-hmm. from people. Some people are glad to see it back. Other people say, like, cause there was one quote. It was like, all I can think of is in between shooting the scenes, him attacking women. Like, very extreme. You know, I mean... So I don't know what, I really never cared for the show. It was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't care if it was on either way. Would you think twice before watching it if
no.
you started scrolling through?
I would watch it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It may be because I can't relate to, I can relate to it in that, like, I understand why they're upset, but it doesn't bother me in the way that it would bother somebody else that has been sexually assaulted. So I can understand them
right.
not wanting to watch it. But again, I'm going to say it, is that if you don't want to watch it, don't watch it. If you don't want to support it, don't support it. That,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I don't know. I would probably watch it. It was a fun show. And it was my childhood. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it. So and one of the things that I, like you said too, is the show is more than just him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other actors in the show, and
many have come
and
from that show.
It was
yeah.
funny, you know. I don't know. I don't know. Again, if it bothered me, I wouldn't watch it. But
right, yeah. Well,
yeah,
back on TV if you're interested.
Yeah,
Bounce TV if you have it.
Bounce, and then what is December something? December 1st or something?
Like some mid December date.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Check your local listings, kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if any people are clamoring to watch Cosby again.
Yeah.
Who knows? A Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
All right.
That show is coming back. And I had the opportunity, actually, of looking at the first episode of the new season. And I will say it's good. It looks
The whole first episode?
Yeah.
Not just the teaser thing.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, the teaser as well. But it looks to me like they're wrapping up a lot of last season's drama.
Okay.
And that it looks like it's going to go in a new direction. Erica had a really cool event. I don't want to give anything away. But it was really cool. And, you know, I mean, for those... I was almost going to be a lapsed viewer from Beverly Hills. I was so over it. You know, now I'm like, okay, I want to see where we're going to go. I encourage people to check it out. You know, why not? what did you think of that first look? I know, Mark, you don't watch Beverly Hills.
When you asked me if I watched them, I don't. I did watch Beverly Hills, I think, was it last season when Lisa Rinna came on?
Two years ago. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Or two seasons ago. I watched that first, like, two or three episodes, because Lisa Rinna and Eileen Davidson were both on Days of Our Lives.
Right.
And I'm a very big Days of Our Lives fan. So I was like, oh, I want to watch. And I love, like, Lisa Rinna was, like, my everything.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, she was my, like, all, one of my all-time favorite characters.
You know what? I loved her. I loved her on that cheap soap talk show.
Oh, soap talk, yeah.
The stuff she would say on that show. Yeah. It was like nothing else that I had heard on TV, because she just, like, she filled that Ty Treadway's ear with more nonsense. I couldn't get over it.
I loved Lisa Rinna. And then trying to get through... I don't know. I'm trying not to offend anybody by saying this. It's just so fabricated and produced, and I can just see right through it, and it drove me crazy.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to... I just couldn't do it. And I could feel my brain cells dying as I was watching it. So I watched up to when her and Eileen Davidson sat... their first scene together, where they sat and had lunch and talked about Days of Our Lives and being on the show.
Dipped out early.
But, yeah, and so I did that, and then I don't think I watched another one after that. I watched DC, Real Housewives of DC, because of that whole thing with her sneaking into White House, and I was really into the Obama election and stuff, so I wanted to see all that. So I did watch that. It didn't bother me. Like, I don't remember having those same thoughts that I do now. And I don't know if it's just because of how reality TV has progressed. I don't typically watch a lot of that stuff. I'll watch, like, Survivor, Top Chef, like, Project Runway competition type shows. Mm-hmm. But, like, those kind of, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to all the reality show and Housewife fans out there, but I just can't. And I love Lisa Rinna. And it's actually kind of even... changed my opinion of her from being on Days, just because I'm just like, I just wanted you to be better than that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, her portrayal on the show wasn't that great either.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't look that great always on the show. She looks kind of like a nut, like getting involved in everyone's business. Now she, in this first look, we see her talking to Kim Richards. And this is from 2 years ago. She had this limo ride with Kim Richards, and it didn't end well. Then last season, she inquired more about Kim's status and all. She claimed she felt so bad for her. And now here we are, her third season in, and we're revisiting. And I don't like this, because this shows that this reminds me of Real Housewives of New Jersey, when we have to go back to old dead storylines. And I don't like it. If that's all that she can be there for, because that's really what, like, put her on the housewife map, was her interaction with Kim.
Got it.
And the accusation she had towards Kim.
Got it.
So if this is what we're still working with, and we don't have a new, you know, and she did mix it up with Yolanda, but she's gone, so now she's going to go with the other victim.
So Yolanda is gone.
Yes. Okay. Thank God. I will never miss her again for that show.
And now, is it, my understanding, Eileen Davidson is not on as much as all the other women.
Well, that was originally what it was supposed to be. She was originally supposed to be like a friend of, and then they added her full time.
Oh, okay. So she is
back full time.
And so this is her third season too now.
Yes.
Okay.
And people love her. I mean, I always liked her, but I always have a
bias. She's great on Days of Our Lives.
I have a bias to her, because I feel like I grew up with her, and I've known her in the soaps. So, you know, it's like, of course I was interested in having her on. I don't want to see her go.
Yeah.
But to people who don't watch soaps, I can see why people would be like, oh, she doesn't bring that much energy to the show. But she's a good character to have.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear.
She looks good on
the show. I'm going to take your word, because I know you.
Yeah. She looks good on the show, yeah.
Stick up for the soaps.
Yeah, yes. It's funny that... you have a hard time getting into Beverly Hills Housewives, but yet we watched that Queens of Drama.
Oh, right, exactly.
That was the most manufactured.
It was very manufactured, but I think, again, and we talked about this on Queens of Drama, I think what I liked about it was that we were still learning something about producing, about collaboration, about the industry.
Okay.
So you know what I mean? So it was a story, but it was a story, like a teaching story. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Housewives, sorry again in advance, is kind of nonsense.
It's having
parties and going on boats and going on trips and buying pretty things. You know what I mean? So not that they didn't do that on Queens of Drama, but at least there was an interesting story, a Hollywood story behind it.
They were producing, they had a goal, they had a project.
Producing an all-women production company, which I think was a great idea. So we'll see if that even happens season two.
Oh, that isn't happening. unfortunately, it isn't. They announced that in the summer because they said it was picked up. And they said, by the way, because they've got a new president over at the CW. And so they said, oh, by the way, yeah, that's canceled. And
not happening.
I felt bad.
We got to find something else to host together.
Yes, we do. All those girls that were on that show, they were all so deserving.
Yeah.
You know, they were all good people.
We had good times with them.
Yeah, but, you know, what can you do? That's truly the life of living out here.
Exactly.
You know how it goes. So, well, let's talk about the age of miscommunication on the tech front with things. Because you texted me, actually. You said this is the generation of what did you say? Of misinformation. And, you know, that stems from the real the religion. I'm talking about the, seems like a religion, the election.
Yes.
And just everything in general with this online world that, even though it's been around for a hot minute, we're still figuring it out, and the process of information distribution.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think it was either today or yesterday, there was an article on Facebook, irrelevant as to what it was about, but the headline was like, you read it and you were like, what? And then when you clicked on it, it said, I knew that would get your attention. And this is for those people who are just reading the headlines on Facebook. And like, so then the whole article was about this, what we're talking about, and how people just keep, they see the headline and they share it and they don't look at who's the sources and they're not looking at, you know, could it be false? Could it be, you know, they don't question it. They just quickly go because they see the headline. Very interesting. I'll tag you in it when I get home so you can see which one I'm talking about.
Clickbait, which drives me
clickbait,
nuts.
Which is what,
yeah, it drives me insane. It all started for me like 4 years ago with that stupid onion.
Yes.
Which I hate. And I know people love it and they think it's hilarious and they share. But to me, that would stop me in my tracks with things because I'd read some asinine, stupid thing. And I'd be like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And I'd go and I'd be like, I am wasting my time. And this is so stupid. Yeah. Like, I don't get, like, I don't care for it because when you post on Facebook any type of article, they all look the same. So it could be something from NBC News or it could be The Onion and it's displayed the same way. So, you know, you're trained. Here we are again, being trained to read things a certain way, to believe things. It's like if you had a newspaper at your door and, you know, 5 days a week it was the USA Today. And then on the fourth day in between, it was The Onion in print. So you're going to look at it the same way from my first glance.
Right.
You know? I mean, I wish it was something stupid like, you know, like Oprah's having tea on a UFO.
Right,
you know
right.
Because I mean? Then I could be like, okay.
That's
all
the
right,
onion,
you know?
Right?
I wish it was that insane. But some of this stuff is like, it makes you kind of tilt your head a little bit.
Oh, totally.
You know, because some of the stuff is within reason of it could happen.
Yes.
Some of the stuff they say. So yeah, I don't like clickbait. The Real Housewives of OC, they do this all the time. Vicky, Tamra, and that Gretchen, they post articles on their Facebook pages. Like, I'd say about, like, almost 90% are their own personal posts. And then they'll slip in these clickbait posts. And it'll be to these, like, random websites that just load their sites with advertisement. Mm. And they'll put up, like, 10 pictures. And they'll be like, celebrities that were pregnant. So, you know, you have to go, it's all, you're looking at ads the whole time. There's no real content.
Right.
And so I think that's so tacky on their part because you know they're getting paid to do that.
Oh, absolutely they are.
Big money.
I'm sure they are.
More money than I'm making to be able to just to put up a studio. Really, because they have such a built-in following. They know people will do it. And they'll add their own 2 cents. So their status will be like, oh my God, I can't believe she didn't know! Exclamation mark. And then the article he posted, they'd be like, woman takes picture and mysterious figure shows up.
Yeah.
So then it's like, oh, well, what's Tamra reacting to? And she's only reacting to making money of having you being stupid picking up the post.
Right.
So it's really an insult, actually, to the people who are following them. And you've got a lot of people who don't know, older women who are following a housewife, and they'll, like, comment on the article as if this is something that Vicky really is reading.
Right.
It's really a bait and switch. It's
totally.
I really.
But that's good.
Don't
approve
of that.
Facebook is trying to get rid of them, though.
Yes. So there's a lot of efforts to get rid of this fake news and all this. It's going to be interesting. Google and Facebook are aiming at these specifically.
Right.
And they say perhaps it could have influenced the election, but this was so, like all this fake news. But now they're also saying like, well, this is something we've been working on, so the election related, it make a huge difference. Google has, they said that any sites peddling fake news, they'll lose their online ad service.
Wow.
Yeah, so the Google Ads, that AdServe network is huge. I worked in advertising for a while, mm-hmm. unfortunately. And it was, we worked with Google and DFP and all these ad server formats. And while we were dealing with paid for advertising, what Google does is they will have advertisers that give money to Google, and then Google will syndicate these ads out to websites associated with them. So now they're going to pull those from these untrue sites. And Facebook is not displaying any ads on their sites that show any misleading content or fake news. And they said that that is also under the umbrella of clickbait. You know, there was an article that they referred to in this report that I picked up on, that Pope Francis was going to endorse Donald Trump. Not true.
Right.
But I was like, really? You know, now that is something in the realm of possibility.
Right.
But then I said, well, wait a minute. Why would, in Vatican City,
yeah.
they have the need, why would they find the need to have to endorse a U.S. candidate? Like, especially at this one.
Right,
just
exactly.
You don't need to say anything, keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? So it was like, I felt for that one for like 5 minutes. And then I read the article and I realized it was on one of those junk sites. And they're not real URLs. They're like all these weirdo URLs.
Right, right, right.
There's a list put out. I saw it. Today, actually.
I saw that too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's you got to look out for anything that's like msnbc.com.co, you know, anything or .lo, or and then there's a bunch of others that are just like nationalnews.org. I don't know. Maybe that's a real thing,
right?
But it's like dot something dot TV, or you know, you got to look out for these things because they really are out to get you. And it's just for them to make money on ads. It's you got to pull them.
And here's my thing too, which. You know, you mentioned that they were saying that it could have affected the election. Well, again, it's your responsibility to research and see where this, what kind of source this is, who wrote it, who that person supports. You know what I mean? Like, those are just, mm-hmm. I think, things that we all just in general need to get in the habit of doing, regardless of having it filtered out now for us, is you know what I mean? Like, do your research. You know, like, that's all I'll do. I'll click on the article. One of the very first things I looked at is the date.
Okay, yes.
How long ago? Because so many people repost stuff from 2-3 years ago. And you're like, oh, wait. And then you're like, oh, wait, this is from 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always look to see what it is. If I recognize it, you know, sometimes I'll be like, okay, I'm fine with it. But then sometimes if I don't know it, I'll just type in, you know, what do I need to know about, blah, 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 you know, whatever.
Right.
And sometimes you'll get right away, it'll say, oh my gosh, always gives false information. Like, you see, I mean, it's one extra search to see, you know what I mean? So,
what are some sources that you do trust?
I started going to The Real News on, they have a Facebook page and a website, and it says on the top of their website, funded by your donations only. So anything that's not like corporately owned, like the mainstream media.
So Real, R-E-A-L.
R-E-A-L, the Real News. News. Okay. The Young Turks. I watch The Young Turks quite a bit now. And I don't really watch mainstream media, you know? And then, like I said, if I get an article, I will do that. I'll look to, I'll Google the company.
Right.
I'll see who runs the company, you know? Yeah, it takes a little bit more time. But I don't want, I've gotten to the point now too, and I've learned, because I was doing it. I was reading the headline and sharing, And I've even had people message me going, Mark, it's The Onion. You know what I mean? Like, so I've fallen for it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but you know what I mean? Like, you just have to take your time and
isn't
actually,
that the worst, that friggin' onion?
Yeah.
Well, Google News, they are not, they basically it came out that they're really not accurate. If you type in a topic, we'll just say like Kirstie Alley, pulling that out there, and you see Google News, that algorithm that they have pulls these fake news sources based on how many people visit there and traffic. So Kirstie Alley is 400 pounds on the Inquirer.com. This might be the first hit, but it doesn't mean it's true.
True, right.
With all this Trump rhetoric. There's a lot of hate speech online. Mm-hmm. It's attributed to Trump because he was very outspoken, we could say, when it comes to certain women, things, people. Yeah. And so a lot of people, unfortunately, feel very vindicated and verified in their outspoken beliefs and in their rhetoric. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of criticism, harassment, abusive language that now Twitter is completely cutting down
which
on.
Which I completely love that they're doing that. I think it's going
to
be a fine line too, and I think some people are going to be bothered by it. But at the same time, I mean, if you're going to, if you're going to act like an idiot, one person's going to ruin it for everybody.
Right. And I'm sure people are like, I can say what I want. But look, you're able to mute, which is a voluntary thing. You're able to mute certain phrases, keywords. What else comes on here? Conversations, too.
Yeah.
So if someone's having like a really backwards conversation that you don't want to see, mute it. And I think that's the best thing they could have done. Yeah.
I love that.
And they're going to work on improving greater real-time reporting. So if someone says something very derogatory or offensive to you that you don't want out there, you can quickly report it and it will be handled quicker than it has in the past.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It's a shame that we have to
go there.
We have to police like children, mm-hmm. people's speech, and that hate speech exists like this. But this is the world we live in, kids, so...
I do feel like it's a fine line, and but at least I can choose. You know what I mean? Like I can say I don't want to hear about this. I will say this though: if you're going to be choosing to not hear words and phrases, I hope that doesn't exclude you from trying to hear another side of something.
Yeah,
if that makes
true.
Sense.
Yes.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Listen anytime on all major podcasting platforms. And now, back to the show.
And we're back talking with Mark J. Freeman at the table.
Woo-hoo!
And I want to talk about your time out here in L.A. A lot of different stories. Now, tell me about what brought you here to L.A.
I was a theater major at Ohio State University. Thank you very much. Go Bucks. I was going to go to New York. I was 100%.
Right.
Like, what are you doing when you're graduating? I'm like, I'm moving to New York. And I had been to New York, I was all excited to go. And then I started bartending and working in this bar. And I had a friend who was going to move to Phoenix.
Okay.
And we became really good friends. And he was like, girl, you should move to the West Coast. We can be the West Coast Divas. I just remember him saying West Coast Divas all the time. And I was like, I've never been to LA. Like, why would I even go? Like, that's insane. And of course, you know, nights of drinking and you agree to things.
Is that what happened? Really? Wow.
Obviously it had to have been somewhere like along those lines that he just kept talking about it and convincing me. And then his roommate, so he was moving to Phoenix, and then the guy he was living with in Columbus was moving to LA. And so I said, well, if I go anywhere, I'll go to LA. And then I had a friend that lived here who said, if you ever want to come out, you can stay with me. So I was like, okay, let's try this out. So I drove across the country for the first time in my life, saw so many states and so many things that I had never experienced. I was 23, you know?
Wow.
And I was here for a year, April 97, April 98. And I moved home. And then I lived in Columbus again for 3 more years, and then I came back in 2001, and now I've been here ever since.
What was LA like in 97, 98?
El Nino. I just remember it raining all the time.
Oh, you got some bad timing.
Oh, it was. I was here for that. And I just remember every day I'd go to work. I worked at PolyGram Films. I was a receptionist at the PolyGram Films, and the people that would come by and talk to me, they would always say, just so you know, this isn't normal. This is not how our weather normally is. Please don't judge us on this weather. And I'm like, I don't remember. I just literally remember it raining all the time.
Wow.
That's what I remember. Yeah, so I came back to visit my friend who I had moved out here with, who was living in Hollywood, and they had just put in the subway system. So he picked me up at Union Station, and we took the subway up to Hollywood. And I remember coming up that escalator by the Pantages.
Yes.
And it was like dusk. Hollywood Boulevard was lit up, and I literally came up and I just stood there and looked, and I just went, I'm moving back. Literally, yeah, that was it. Yeah. I saw it, and I was like, oh my gosh, I missed this. I went back. Yeah. And then the next day, we just drove around in his convertible all day, and I was like, oh my God, I need to come back. And I came back.
That's so funny. I had a similar experience the very first time I came to Hollywood, because I went to school in Orange County. My dad helped me show me the rail system and all that. So I would walk from my dorm to the train station, which is like about a mile, take the Amtrak up to Union Station.
Mm-hmm.
Then take the subway into some Beverly and something, some not so great Koreatown area. And then I would take a taxi to CBS and then do the reverse home. It was a very long day. It was an unpaid internship. It was a lot of work, but I loved every minute of it.
Right.
But when we first went over it, we were up in LA. We had done the thing. We were like, where else can we go on this? So we went to Hollywood Boulevard. And that was the first time I had really. Well, actually, it was the second time I had been there, but I know what you mean. You come up that escalator, you walk, you're literally Hollywood and Highland Center.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is there. It is kind of a striking moment.
Yeah.
And
I just, I don't know. I went back to Columbus and I told my roommates, I said, I'm putting in my notice and in May I'm leaving. And I remember I arrived June 1st. 2001, I'll never forget, because all the way driving across the country, I kept saying, as long as we get there by June 1st, I have to have this truck back by June.
Oh, really?
So that's the only reason I remember the day, is because it was the day I had to have the truck back.
So what brought you to LA? Was it for a career move, or is this where you just wanted to be? Or both? Because I can say both.
I don't know that I necessarily wanted to be in LA. I did have a guy that was a graduate student when I was an undergrad at Ohio State, who kept saying to me, as an undergrad, you need to move to LA. You're so LA. I was like, okay, I don't know what that means because I've never been there. But I did have a couple of people tell me that, him in particular. And it wasn't, I think, until this second time here and, you know, being here now 15 years. Yeah, 15 years. That now I'm like, now I love LA. Like, I love California. I love just, you know, like, I just feel like I'm me, 100% me here. You know, I love my family. I love going home to visit and stuff. But it's just here, you know. And I obviously want to, you know, be in the business and hosting and acting and all that kind of stuff. So,
do you ever feel like you never got New York out of your system?
No.
You never needed to do that?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I've thought about it a couple times, like, well, maybe I should try to go to New York now. But I don't know. I don't know. We're spoiled with this weather.
I know.
It's hard to change. Although I don't like it too hot. So that is one thing that's kind of hard for me, is when it gets really, really hot and for a really long period of time,
right.
I kind of freak out. But
tell me about Dish and Days and how it's changed things for you in your life.
You know, it was funny because a friend of mine was a host at AfterBuzz, and he knew that I watched Days because we would talk about it at my old job. And he had just asked me to be on the panel, and I did it. And honestly, like, I honestly didn't really know what to expect. And we didn't know what to expect, whether people would watch, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, soaps, it's, you know, that audience is diehard. You know what I mean? So I think I really thought they're either going to love us or hate us. And I'm quite opinionated, if you haven't been able to figure that out yet. So it was, they loved it. They ate it up. They loved it. And then, you know, then we were trying to get the stars on the show so we can get interviews and stuff. And now I feel like we're almost an extension of the show. You know what I mean? I've had people tell me that they stopped watching Days, but they still listen to our podcast. Yeah. So I just think that's wonderful. You know,
and the
stars love it. You know, now they'll see us at events and they'll go, well, you haven't had me on the show yet. Why haven't you had me on the show yet? And we're like, well, you're allowed to come on the show. No one's telling you can't. So, it's been wonderful. It's been so, so wonderful.
It's such a good feeling when you cover these shows and they appreciate you and they know that you cover them and they something like A Modern Family or like another, like they're not gonna, like, Ed O'Neill isn't gonna watch AfterBuzz TV.
Right.
Maybe he does. I don't think he does. But something like Days and the Soaps, they're so appreciative of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it so much more worth everything that you put into it. When you know that Lauren Coslow knows exactly who you are, and you know that they not only know who you are, they don't ignore it. You know, they embrace it. and makes totally. It so much more fun to cover. Like when we did Queens of Drama.
Yeah, I was going to say, Queens of Drama did the same thing.
That kind of valued our little show. It was cool. It was great. It just makes it, and it's a different dimension.
Oh, well, and when I was doing Clipped, which only did one season. It was a comedy on TBS that Ashley Tisdale was in. Mm-hmm. And we found out shortly into, like, the second or third episode that the cast for Clipped would get together on Tuesday nights and watch their episode and started tuning in and watching us. And we were blown away. Like, Maria Menounos tweeted out a video of her with Ashley Tisdale saying, I tune in and watch the after show for Clipped. And I was like, what? Like, it's validating. You know what I mean? Like, it just feels good to know that they appreciate what we're doing. And I think what makes AfterBuzz work the AfterBuzz shows that are the best are the ones that truly have super fans that love the show, that know the show, that know the actors. Because it's, you know, it's like lethargic to get to go and be in this little moment with other people that have that same passion as you. You know, and that's soap opera fans, I think. And I think anybody knows, even people that don't watch soap operas know that the soap opera fans are 100% behind soaps and anybody else who is behind the soaps. So we couldn't be doing it without them, for sure. For sure.
Right. Now, one thing I wanted to ask you about was when we did Queens of Drama, you had started a job on the WB lot. I wanted to know if you could spill any tea about that experience.
Oh, was that when I was on?
I know it was for a short period of time, and it wasn't necessarily your cup of tea. But what can you say about that experience being on the lot?
It was fun. I'm honestly sad that I didn't get to do it, because I think I would have probably been the number one tour guide at Warner Brothers.
I think
when
so
all was
too.
Said and done. I think it was because it would have been so much fun, because the way that Warner Brothers does it is you kind of create your own tour. Mm-hmm. So depending on which tour guide you get, you know, and you can have people request you and stuff. But whatever your strengths are, those are the things you just talk about. You know what I mean?
Nice.
People are obviously, you need to know.
I used to have to give tours. We had to memorize everything.
Oh, there was a lot. I mean, I still have the notebooks. Trust me, I've come across a couple of them. And I'm like, I probably could throw this information away now. but it was a lot of fun. It just that it made... in my opinion, they made it sound like it was very part-time flexible. But when it came down to it, it wasn't. And I just couldn't be gone 10 hours a day.
Right.
I just couldn't do it. I was like, there's just no way I can make that work. So I did go through the whole full 2 weeks of training. And then I had to say, I can't do it.
Oh, yeah.
So I felt bad. And they were very upset. Because I had to do my final. And basically what we did is you went on the car with a group and with the bosses, and they would at any point in the tour stop and say, okay, now you take over.
Oh,
now you take over. Now you take over. Now you take over. And I just kept sitting there waiting, and like, you know, and there's of course parts of the tour that you know you're better at.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and there's other parts where I'm like, oh, I hope I don't get this part of the tour. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and I ended up being the very last person on my card to go. And it was fun. It was just like, you know, the Mark Comedy Hour for me, you know?
Yes.
You know me.
I
was on, like, give me that headset, let's go. And they even said when we got done, you know, because they took us in and gave us notes and stuff, and they were just like, I didn't want it to end. I didn't want... Because... And I had I had a much shorter amount of time.
I bet.
Because I was at the end.
Yeah.
So I basically left whatever the studio we were at and got us back to where you leave for the tour. And it was very... They were very close together. So I didn't have that much to talk about, but I still made it entertaining and stuff like that. So I felt bad, but it was a great experience. I mean, if anyone wants to do it, I would recommend it. I know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it's a very big time commitment. But, and I still have a couple friends, people that were in my class that are still doing it.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, it was a hoot.
I've always wanted to take that tour. I'm waiting for the right visitors to come out who would appreciate such a thing.
Yeah, there's different ones. There are smaller ones you can do, so it's just you and your friends, so you don't have to be on the car with everybody. I really like Warner Brothers. I'm not putting down Warner Brothers, but I've also done the Sony tour.
Okay.
Well, I didn't realize this, but Sony is the old MGM. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was just in heaven, like Wizard of Oz, all of that stuff that was huge MGM stuff, you know, Judy Garland, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I just remember sitting, because you watch that movie first and it tells you about the lot and everything. And as soon as they said it was MGM, I was like, what? How have I lived here all this time and never known? Because I went with a friend that was visiting. And it was, and it's a walking tour. You walk through places and stuff. It was just, I was just blown away.
I love that lot.
It was, there was so much I didn't, I think, and maybe it was because I didn't know that it made it that much more exciting for me.
Yeah.
But I just loved it. So if you ever have a chance to do it, I know the price went up considerably because I think I paid like $28 when I did it, but I don't think that's $28 anymore. Yeah. But, yeah, it was a fun tour.
So from there, you moved on to your job as a box office manager.
Tell me, I bartended most of the time I was here.
Yeah.
And now I'm at the Odyssey Theater in West LA. They don't like to say this because we don't know if it's officially true, but I'm going to say it. We're the longest running 99-seat theater in Los Angeles. Thank you very much. Go. I'm going to say it. We don't have proof of that, but... We've been around for 40. This is our 48th year.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So this is their third location that we're at now. They've been there, I think, 19 years. They were in Hollywood. Then they were on Bundy in Ohio. And now the location that we're at on Sepulveda, just north of Olympic. But we have three 99-seat theaters in the complex. So we're usually occupying one space for whatever we're doing. And then the other two spaces we're renting out to other productions that are wanting to do shows. So, but I directed a show 2 years ago. Actually, 2 years today. It popped up on my newsfeed today.
Oh, yeah.
I directed a show, and that's kind of what got me, like, I want to be back in the theater. That's what I fell in love with. That's what I went to school for.
I miss directing theater. I did that. I miss that.
It's just such a different beast.
Yes.
And I just remember being in the theater and directing my actors and just going, oh, this feels right. This feels like what I should be doing, you know?
I know.
And so that's why I was like, okay, I want to get back in the theater. What can I do to get back in the theater? And I was like, well, I have office experience. I have this, you know, I have customer service experience. I could work in a box office, you know? So I just started looking for box office jobs. Mm-hmm. I actually applied for this job and they never called. And then 8 months later, the job appeared again, and I was like, oh, I'm going to apply again. And I applied again and got the job. So
the timing just was finally right.
Well, you know, what was funny was the girl that had it for those 8 months was from Ohio.
Oh.
And the reason she called me in was she saw Ohio State on my resume. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I got to meet this guy from Ohio State. And then I ended up getting the job. So in my head, I said, everything happens for a reason. She needed to get the job for 8 months. So that she could see Ohio State on my resume to get me through the door. So that was my.
So talk a little bit about theater in LA. That's something we really haven't talked about on this show.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because when I got hired, one of the things that we really talked about was trying to get a younger audience, trying to get a different audience. You know, we definitely have subscribers and people who have donated to the Odyssey. I mean, some of them since it was in Hollywood. You know, that's, you know, they've been around that long and they're wonderful and fantastic. But now we're kind of for our new season for 2017. We're trying to find a way to just to make it more accessible to people. L.A. theater. I mean, again, I didn't live in New York. Mm-hmm. I bypassed that and came to L.A. L.A. theater is so different from New York. I mean, New York is theater. Exactly. That's what you know what I mean? Here, I just feel like it's just such a different beast. Mm-hmm. So now we're trying to kind of branch out from just doing theater. So now we're going to be having like a German dance company come in January. We have Julie McGinnis, who's a mezzo-soprano opera singer. She's going to do like a little concert. We have another band coming I think in June or July, and now I'm drawing a blank on the name of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, horrible box office manager. Oh, it'll come to me. Anyways, so we've got music, we've got dance. We're just trying to make it more having more options than just plays.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and even the people that come to see just the plays, you know, they either want the classics or they want contemporary.
Yeah.
They all want a comedy. They want the, you know, right. you're just trying to make everybody happy.
I feel like the theater that I've seen just through advertisements, stuff that's out here, is very niche.
Yeah.
You know, it's like very specific. It's a lot of it is a lot of LA live action is all based in improv. Mm-hmm. That's a huge thing
here. Yeah.
So
for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a totally different like art form in LA than anywhere else.
And unless it's like you know, like the Amundsen or something mm-hmm. like that, where they have these money to, you know, bring in a big name and do a big production. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have that kind of money. You know what I mean? Like, we're, you know, doing everything we can and fundraising to, you know, be able to do our shows and stuff. So it's hard for, you know, it's hard because you want to give the best you can, but we're a nonprofit, so we're having to, you know, do on a minimal scale and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've been around 48 years. They've been doing something right. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I do think that they do understand, though, that we need to try to start getting a younger audience and doing stuff. We're doing a show called Punk Rock in March that is a very young cast. I think there are high school students in the show. So we're hoping that will get. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Just trying to get new bodies in there and people coming in and seeing. I think it just... I don't know what it is with theater now. People don't... I don't know. To me, it's just so, you know. It's just there's something about sitting in that chair and looking through that fourth wall and being a part of that.
Yep.
You know? I just saw a sign the other day. It's like, come go to a theater. It's the original 3D.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so true. It's like, come on.
You know,
I don't
do it enough. Mainly because I don't have people that would go with me.
Yeah.
I don't have someone that I could call that would want to spend money on a ticket, mm-hmm. that would commit... and not flake and would go.
Yeah.
But I miss it and I notice that I don't do mm-hmm. it like I used to. I notice it. It's a part of my life that's missing.
Mm-hmm.
I have such an appreciation for that world. I grew up in all that and mm-hmm. that creative energy and the personalities that what that world attracts is me. And I love that. And I just...
A lot of soap opera stars come to the Odyssey.
Yeah. Oh, really? Really?
Who did we have? We had somebody that you would know, and now I'm drawing a blank on her name. Andrea Evans.
Oh, yeah.
She was in a show at the Odyssey.
Oh, nice.
Deidre Hall did a show at the Odyssey.
Soap opera
A. Martinez.
Yeah. All of them. Long soap opera stars.
Yeah.
Long running. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to check something out for sure.
Yeah, anytime you want to come, let me know.
I need to get that going. That's like a 2017 goal. Add it to the list.
Well, you know the right person.
I do. So what else do you want to talk about with new projects? Anything to work on? Anything you want to promote?
I mean, I have something that I'm really trying to get going for 2017. Something that I've kind of been thinking about for a while and, you know, a podcast type thing.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to spill too much about it, but watch for that name, Mark J. Freeman Podcast.
Well, obviously, Mark, we'll have you back on the show.
Thank you. So you can talk about things develop. For sure.
You know, because I say it all the time, people don't do it enough, but you have to support each other's projects
if you
want to get anywhere. So you can always talk about that show on this one.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I would love to. Yeah.
All right. So where can we find you? You know, I'm going to ask. Where are you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love. That's a whole nother conversation. That's a whole nother podcast.
Yes.
it's spelled LORAYNELOVE. And I'm on Tumblr now. I don't know what that means, but I do have a Lorraine Love Tumblr. I think I have a picture up. I don't even know what's on there. Someone told me the other day that Tumblr is porn, but I don't see porn when I get on it, so I don't know what they're talking about.
It's a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay. I've never seen that. But anyway, that's it. No, Snapchat, Lorraine.love.
Oh, okay. Oh, why didn't I even? I don't know.
Snapchat.
I don't know if I have a Snapchat.
I don't really Snapchat that much.
Okay.
I go through phases.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I'll do a whole day and then I never do it again for 3 weeks.
I just put stupid things on Snapchat, like me, the dentist, the view.
I think I follow you. I think I follow.
Okay.
You.
Maybe I do. If you follow me, then I probably follow you back. Who knows? All right. Well, we got a lot of exciting episodes to come. Look out for our Thanksgiving panel episode. It's coming together really nicely. And it's going to be a great listen. So already make a little note on your calendar when you're traveling for a Thanksgiving holiday to listen to Grant's Rants. Why not?
If you're
on a plane, a train, a boat, a car, put it on.
Or at home in your living room with a glass of wine.
No, thank you. Amen. Amen. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks, Mark, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
And there'll be more rants to come.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Blake V. Media. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arntzen.